Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Well, we're going to talk about the origins of Earth today and my philosophy on how life began on this planet and some of the origins of mysticism, astrology, esoteric phenomena, philosophies of karma, religion, and all kinds of good stuff. So very, very unusual and strange and different kind of topic today for sure. But considering that most of you are not human, actually, no, I don't want to make anyone nervous or scared or freak anybody out, but the truth of the matter is that most people that are into astrology and metaphysics and things like science fiction and also things like, different things in life, open-mindedness, non-dogmatic behavior, are sort of what we refer to as star people, extraterrestrial souls that inhabit human bodies. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you feel very uncomfortable and you don't know why. Besides the fact you might be having a transit, you also might not be human. But actually, I do relate to being a star person, and I do relate to things like being a star pilot, and I love things like Star Trek and, of course, movies like Indiana Jones movies and Batman, and you see all these things. You know, we have all these things in our culture that are so normally and naturally extraterrestrial, like comic books, which a lot of people think are just jokes or myths, you know, or cartoons on television that we see. But what we're actually viewing when we read comic books or looking at cartoons is we're actually looking at extraterrestrial subcultures and myths that are based on fact of existences and civilizations that existed currently and long before Earth was ever established. I firmly believe that life just didn't pop onto Earth at all. I do believe that life as we know it was brought here from other, possibly either other dimensions or other planetary worlds, possibly that it was a design for Earth to be a laboratory of life by, you can call it chariots of the gods or whatever. But I don't believe that men and women came from monkeys. I do believe that that is a separate breed and that the Darwin theory is wrong because of the missing link, because there's a link that is missing that is obvious because there is no link. And, you know, I do also believe that there has been civilizations on this planet that have far and above dwarfed anything we could imagine technologically, that human beings on Earth had been involved in space travel, and that movies like Star Trek actually are records of space travel that we used to do during the Atlantean epic, because interstellar vehicles were created and the ability to warp time and space were situations that were developed. Had you ever considered this? Had you ever considered that the UFOs that we witness today, a lot of these UFO reports, are really Atlanteans in their little time travel machines going way into the distant future from their past just to see how we're doing with what they blew or what they destroyed? A lot of people might laugh when they hear that, but I do believe that time can be conquered, and I do believe that, in fact, it was conquered during the Atlantean epoch, because in their age of Aquarius and their age of technology, they were able to develop all kinds of scientific advancements that would dwarf anything we could possibly imagine. And frankly, you know, we have come so far in 100 years. Can you imagine if somehow we were able to outlaw nuclear weapons and guns and weapons of war and death and violence and somehow create zero population growth and create a happy medium on this planet so we'd be allowed to live thousands of years into an age of technology? Methinks we could conquer cancer and AIDS and heart disease and all dread diseases, and also develop means of communication and travel and all types of wild technological things, like maybe learning how to fly or learning how to walk on water, such as that. So I don't like to limit my mind or my imagination. One thing I've learned in my life is that the happiest place for me to be is in a place that it's possible, you know, and that believe in miracles, because they will happen. And for that reason, I think that people that are inventive, people that are into creativity and creations, and people that are into things like computers and programming, are on the verge of some discoveries as we turn into the 21st century that may allow us to warp space in an instant. You know, something may be discovered that would be so remarkable that instead of us taking 5 years to get to Mars or Jupiter or Venus, as far as what we might predict a vehicle might take to get there, we could get there in 5 seconds. You know, where somebody could develop a device or a machine or a technique that'd be so utterly simple as far as the law of physics would be concerned that you could actually go from here to Chicago in a microsecond. Now, can you imagine for a moment a planet where no longer there were any cars needed or any planes or buses, unless you just wanted to walk or take a horse or drive an old-fashioned car, you could get from here to Paris in a microsecond, no problem, just by walking into your pod, entering the destination you want to get to, and bingo, in a microsecond, you're there. You know, but that's the way the Atlanteans used to travel, and that's the way a lot of beings beyond Earth are used to travel. You know, it's a funny thing about life. The history of planet Earth is a history that's been surrounded by dogma and limitation and fear. So many people have made the statement of this is evil and that's evil and this is satanic, and somebody would come up with an innovative idea or an innovative proposal, they'd be burned at the stakes or stoned or killed or crucified. You know, whenever anybody has been different or creative or innovative, it seems like they're often martyred or often shunned or put down or made to feel small. But I do think with the Aquarius transits upon us, and I want you to know that now that the north node of the moon is in Aquarius, and Saturn will be there within about a year or two, and then also Uranus and Neptune will follow within about a year or four. And at that point, I think that some of the things that will be developed technologically in the 90s are going to blow a lot of people's minds, that they will literally dwarf whatever we know to exist and be real today. And frankly, you know, like this nuclear war stuff is so primitive and is so toxic and is so ancient in its applications that, you know, for people that are into death technology, when they discover a way to literally zap this planet out of existence in a microsecond, they'll take a look at something like nuclear fusion or fission and say, wow, that was really almost monkey shines next to what we really can do to this planet. So hopefully we will be able to turn the corner and get away from experimentation into negative destruction technology and get ourselves on the path of creating something powerful and strong and loving and caring and healthy and expansive and evolutionary. See, it's really kind of scary in a way when we take a look at the whole picture as far as what the Aquarian Age has to offer us. Because in truth, what we are dealing with, you know, is we are dealing with a communion between higher levels of expression as far as mind expression. In other words, we are finally taking some of our basal guttural instincts and needs and desires, which for many of us, as you know, if you listen to this show, are career, love, and money, right? And, you know, as an nth result to that, also power and ambition, acquisition, property. You know, it's funny that you say to a person, what would you do? What would you do if you had a power where you could create dreams or you could create anything you wanted? You know, it's funny, when I was a little boy and every time I had a birthday, they always used to say, Farley, make a wish. And I never used to tell anybody what those wishes were, but for my whole life, whenever I had a birthday and made a wish before I blown out the candles, it has always been a selfless wish for peace and love and health to embrace this planet and everyone on it. And that's always been my dream as a child. But you know, you say to yourself, well, what about those people that don't have those selfless dreams? What about those people that if given the power, what would they do with it? And the first thing, you know, that they asked for, if they have a dream machine, usually is money and lots of it. You know, they don't even think about their health. You know, it's funny how the way the universe works, usually you get your dream and you end up with millions and millions of dollars, but you also end up with the worst health in the world to go along with it. As far as I'm concerned, health is the greatest wealth, and without it, all there is absence of health, which is pain. But, you know, I think what the problem is, and what is frightening a lot of people, is that with this clarity, you know, with this communion between the higher self, which is such an awesome creative power, an awesome creative force, the higher self is the part of ourselves that is bonded to God, and that is bonded to this creative force that is so powerful it can manifest anything. Anything with beyond your wildest dreams or nightmares can surely become manifest in communion with the higher self and the God force, okay? And a lot of us, because we are selfish and because we are greedy and because we are trapped into these guttural instincts and these basal needs, are being put into a situation that the higher we get in our spiritual growth and the higher we get in our awareness levels, when we do become aware of the higher self and the God force, the God self, you know, you can abuse it. You can abuse that, because what is the one thing people that are spiritual want to manifest? You wouldn't believe this, but as soon as you reach that spiritual height, the very first thing they want to manifest is power and money and career. You know, it's sort of like, isn't it weird how there's a selfish end to a normally innocent, almost childlike motivation, which is, you know, a lot of people start off on a spiritual path because they're in trouble, because their life hasn't worked the way they wanted it to, and because they want something else. They want an alternative to sort of take the pain off. And then they all of a sudden start becoming spiritual and a lot more aware, and they get into astrology and they get into metaphysics and psychic and spiritual awareness, and what do they do with it? They abuse it. And they start going to these prosperity seminars, and they start manifesting all this money and start manifesting all these powerful careers, and then they start buying all this real estate, and where's the spirit? You know, the end result of becoming spiritual was not to be spiritual. It was to become powerful. They're just taking a different path to that power than they normally specifically desired. And that's why it's so funny that this show, which is dedicated to the priority of the spirit, constantly appeals to those people that are really looking for power, not spirit. You know, I'm not talking about all you listening, not at all, because the majority of my listening audience is truly an innocent, a very meek, childlike, and very powerfully spiritual, what I would call mellow, tender, sensitive faction of this planet. But still, that there are other people that would perverse the evolution of spiritual growth by trying to manifest the power and the property and the relationships that they think are good for them. And you know, that is really the whole point of the polarity, of the contrast of the Aquarian choices that we are confronted with. And I'm telling you, as we move into the 90s, and as we approach this ability to create these either weapons, these nightmarish technologies that could blow us out of this dimension, the whole planet, in a second, or technologies that could move you from here to New York in a microsecond, or allow people to fly if they want to, you know, or allow you to heal yourself in a moment if you'd like to. You know, there's going to be such a clarity. You know, people are not aware of the powerful effect. People say, well, you don't believe in that astrology stuff, do you? Come on. You know, we've already gone through the great year, the age of Pisces, that was actually, it was pinpointed at the birth and the ascension of Christ. That's when the age of Pisces began, at the year zero. Okay? And the great age, the astrological age, endures, the great month of the age of Pisces endures for 2,000 years. So we go through an entire great year period in approximately 24,000 year cycle. Okay? Now, the Aquarian cycle is the cycle of clarity. It is the cycle of technology. It is a cycle of genius. It is a cycle of humanitarianism, or utter, unobliterated, incomparable destruction. That's right, because Aquarius rules things like explosions and lightning and divorce and shock, you know, electricity, stuff like that, you know. But it also rules peace and happiness and love and humanitarianism and fun and excitement and exuberance. See? So you say to yourself, well, Farley, what's the big deal here? Well, astrology is so obvious. What happens in the great ages, in the great age shift, is that this solar system, the system of the sun, our system of the sun, actually goes through a cycle, okay, every 2,000 years, whereas our solar system comes under the vibrational influence of a different sign of the zodiac, which is kind of like a ray that is focused from that sign of the zodiac on this entire system, all the planets and the sun included, for a 2,000-year period. And we have been subjected to the Piscean ray, you know, for 2,000 years. Now we are coming under this vibration, and you know, isn't it funny that here we are in the year 2000, and the Industrial Revolution started right around 1800, you know, because we haven't even come under the total effect. It's almost like what happens when the moon changes signs. It just comes under the orb and the effect of the next sign about 5 or 6 hours before it changes signs. It starts to feel the pulse of that next sign. Well, it's the same thing with the ages. You know, we've been in the age of Pisces for 2,000 years. And right before Christ was born, we were in the age of Aries, okay? We were in the age of Aries for 2,000 years, which was a warlike period. Gosh, the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire and the Ottoman Empire and all these empires, lots of people really died in the age of Aries. Didn't know what the heck was going on. Then the age of Pisces came around, the birth of Christ, and finally there was some hope. Because the age of Pisces, being the age of spirit and the age of religion and also the age of dreams, okay, and also the age of delusions and illumination, okay? So we've been given some illumination at the end of this 2,000-year cycle, and now we're going into the age of Aquarius for 2,000 years, which takes the spirit and this religion and this illusion and these dreams and manifests them, okay? And creates clarity and genius. So that is why that as this system of planets, the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and the Earth have come under effect of the Aquarian vibration of this ray from the sector of space known as Aquarius, which will remain for 2,000 years, it has allowed us to shift our consciousness, allowing people to become inventive, allowing people to create things like technology and computers and television and radio and also movies and talking movie pictures and things that we take for granted, that our great-great-grandmothers and grandfathers that lived in the 1800s would come to modern-day Earth and probably die of shock, you know, actually feeling like they were on another planet if they saw what we had done in less than 100 years. We're talking 1889. We are talking 18. Do you have any idea how different this planet was in 1889? 1889. You know, you think you jump into your Corvette and drive to a McDonald's with your CB and your portable laptop Toshiba computer and sit there and eat yourself a McChicken sandwich with large fries, Coke, a shake, a hot apple pie in 1889? No way! You know, you take somebody to McDonald's and they probably blow the place away back then. So, you know, we are really taking for granted the progression and the evolution that we've done up to this last 100 years. And things are going to start compounding very quickly. You know, the Earth is going through a lot of changes. It's not an accident that the consciousness of many of the peoples on this world is a consciousness that is moving more towards freedom, more towards democracy. You know, the problems that they're having with communism right now in the Soviet Union and in China and a lot of the other communist countries. See, communism only works in a country that is poor. When the people start getting educated and when the people start getting money to live and have housing and clothes and shelter and stuff, and they finally don't feel like they're in a misery anymore, they are finally redirected to a point in their lives where they feel they want something more. And that something more means no more martial law, no more curfews, freedom to leave their country and travel if they want over broad, freedom to raise their children and direct their children in whatever fields their children want to be in, and also freedom of a lot of things, like speech, which we take for granted, and freedom of congregation, which we take for granted, and freedom of press, which we take for granted. These countries don't have that. You know, so, and meanwhile, the communist nations are poised with all their weapons pointed towards us, and we're poised with all of our weapons pointed towards them, and no matter how much propaganda they have, they cannot blind or hold this Piscean veil over their people's eyes any longer, because there are satellites, and people can pick up receptions overseas, and there are lots of magazines in print that are taken over the borders and read by communist peoples, and the propaganda just doesn't make it anymore. These people are not stupid anymore. So the world is going through a potential change where finally we can embrace world democracy one day, hopefully soon, and remove this threat of warfare and international destruction, worldwide abolition of all life on this planet, and live in a position where we can have communion with the higher self. And what it does is it creates a situation that we refer to as heaven on earth. That's right, where you can finally bond with the higher self, come into communion with the God self, and finally assume enough maturity and spiritual responsibility where no longer you need be obsessed with the material desires you're conditioned to think that you need. But by embracing the Spirit, you can have everything and beyond that you really do deserve, more than what you think you need. You know, money and power and lust is not the answer. The answer is Spirit. You know, and people are not aware that as they are growing and evolving into this realm of spiritual awareness, as this Piscean veil is lifted, and as each and every one of us is given clarity, and you know when you make the turn. You are actually aware when you change your mind. I don't know if you remember this yourself, but I went through a phase where I was pretty ignorant. I was pretty stupid. Then all of a sudden I gained this awareness about things like astrology, metaphysics, karma, psychic and spiritual awareness, just basic open-mindedness. And life was never the same again. It's funny how the other day I was in a coffee shop and I was talking to this guy who took LSD just one time, and his life was never the same after that. I don't know whether it made him crazy or whether it just opened himself up to the fact that there was something else that existed other than what we're conditioned to think is real. Because not many of the stuff we think is real is really, truly real. Much of this is a cover-up. Much of this on Earth, you know, this thing happened with Carter and Reagan, you know, where the Republicans probably made a deal with Iran to hold off on having those hostages released until after the election. You know, if Carter would have got the hostages released, then he would have been president. But no, he couldn't do it. So Reagan got elected and the hostages got released immediately. What do you think Iran got for that? Maybe arms that were directed by Oliver North? You know, or whatever, you know, and now the vice president of this man, Bush, is currently president, and meanwhile, all the people in the world act like nothing really happened? You know, when it's also obvious and logical what really truly did happen? That's a Piscean effect. Piscean effect is a veil. If you ever met a Pisces that was charming and manipulated and that lied to you or tried to tell you anything you needed to hear to get you what he or she wanted you to do, that is what we call the Piscean power, the Piscean charm, and the ability to manipulate and veil the truth. It's like when somebody gets high, when they get stoned, when they smoke a joint, or when they take a Quaalude or snort some coke or smoke some crack. They're covering their lives with a Piscean veil. That's a negative side to the age of Pisces. It's a dream. It's not real. So here we are in the age of Aquarius, and here we have the ability to form communion with the higher self and the God self. In fact, it's destined. It's going to happen. And when that happens, we are going to be more in control of a creative force. You know, I want you to know that this creative force of God that we now are becoming more and more in control of is this same force that has allowed us to invent things like telephone and television and radio and movies and computers and automobiles and trains and planes and all that, you know. So all this stuff we have today in the 1900s, heck, we're going to take a look at this stuff, if we survive, of course, in the next 1,000 years, as primitive. You know, this stuff, we're going to look back at this stuff. Oh, are you talking about the plane with jet engines back in 1980? Are you kidding? We don't need planes now. We just walk into a pod and we're transformed and moved over to Yugoslavia in a microsecond. What do you need a plane for? Why sit someplace for 15 or 20 hours to get to a different part in the world, or even to get to a different part of the moon? You'll be, you know, very soon now, probably in the next 30 years, we'll be able to colonize the moon because we'll be able to warp up, beam up. You know, this stuff that happens in Star Trek is not a joke. They're going to be able to develop a process, a very simple process, to move matter and to move consciousness along with it. be able to beam to wherever you want to. See, like, we keep thinking that we are so smart, we are so powerful, that our leaders are so evolved and they're so in control. Give me a break. The world leaders of today are so childlike and scary and so insecure and naive. The fact that they allow something like a nuclear stockpile, nuclear reactors on this planet is a total blasphemy to life on Earth. It's not real. It just doesn't make any sense. It's all money and power and competition and fear. That's all it is. In truth, when we get some world leaders that are more in touch with their spirit, which will happen in the next decade, we will finally have some leadership on this planet that will become aware of the consequences of the technology we create. Then the Earth will hopefully go through a positive, peaceful overnight shift where these weapons of war and these walls are finally broken down and torn down, where we can live together as a family of man on this planet as the clarity comes more to fore, more to bore as time goes on. You know, each and every one of you is involved in a personal struggle that has to do with spirit and matter. You know, what is important? You know, what is really important? I ask this myself every day. Is it more important that I nurture and protect my own spirit, or is it more important that I create empire and these dreams and this conditioning that I've been susceptible to my whole life? You know, it's almost like the choice between the Christ and the Antichrist. You know, we think that we really need matter and power and love and money and relationships and all that stuff. And that's kind of like the Antichrist. But in truth, you know, what we really need is a spirit, the spirit of God within, the messianic quality. And that's why I love the Course in Miracles, because the Course in Miracles, which I feel is really the true Bible on this planet, is a course that helps develop and nurture and reveal the clarity of the Aquarian consciousness that's going to overcome this planet, and hopefully at that point it won't be too late to save it. Because here it is, 1989, and we still have 20 or 30,000 warheads aimed and targeting all our population centers on this planet, which is really, it's not necessary. Well, anyway, I'm not meaning for this to be a political show, and I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just trying to let you know that I do feel that what we sense to be true is not really the truth, because there's always further truth. There's always more truth. And I get back to the basic part of my topic at the very beginning, that I do believe that there are human beings, you know, souls of human beings that live on this planet, but I also do believe that many millions of extraterrestrial souls that have lived in civilizations that have experienced high technology through with a clarity for thousands of years, you know, have incarnated in this century to help allow and manifest the midwifing of the birth of this planet into a high level of vibration, a higher vibration, the Aquarian vibration. You know, this extraterrestrial consciousness is the consciousness of these souls, literally from beings that have come from other dimensions and other civilizations that have made it. Unlike Earth, you know, these people have made a choice to come to Earth to help us out of a selfless quest to help this planet. And by doing that, they literally have sacrificed a lot of their blissful experiences, but maybe some of this knowledge and power and philosophy and technology will help us turn it all around. You know, and that's really what my hope for the future of planet Earth is all about.